Time for a Week 8 NFL preview with the Vikings and Chargers, the Packers and Steelers, and more. Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL Podcast for Thursday, October 23rd, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTNFantasy.com. He is Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack, The Two Deep Zone, at miketenier.substack.com. We are, of course, here every Monday and Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern. We'll take your questions and comments, and we're going to be previewing the Week 8 slate of games, which includes all kinds of fun like Cowboys, Broncos, and Giants, Eagles, and Packers, Steelers. The big Aaron Rodgers revenge game on Sunday night.
The second, third Aaron Rodgers revenge game?
You're not tired of hearing about that yet.
No.
You will be by about 9 o'clock on Sunday night. We are brought to you by our friends at Underdog. If your fantasy team is decimated by injuries, Underdog is a great way to get back in the game. Make picks using everything you learn on our show, sweat the games, and then cash out when your picks hit. New customers can play $5. And get up to $100 in bonus funds or entries when you use promo code FTN to sign up. Terms apply, and as always, please play responsibly. Promo code FTN, Underdog Fantasy. All right, let's start with Thursday night. That's the night game tonight on Amazon Prime. This is the 3-3 Vikings at the 4-3 Chargers. Surprisingly, the playoff odds for the Vikings are very low, considering that they're 3-3. Partly because the entire NFC West seems to be 5-2.
Right.
The Vikings only make it 12% of the time with a win and 4% with a loss, and the Chargers are at 57% with a win and 35% with a loss. But these teams are surprisingly close in DVOA. Minnesota is currently 22nd. And the Chargers are 23rd. They are only 17th on offense because they're pulling people out of the stands to play offensive tackle.
Luckily, that might change tonight. While Joe Alt was limited in practice, he told reporters that he plans to play, which means Joe Alt will probably be back at left tackle for the Chargers. Trey Pipkins and Austin Hitzedekalus are questionable, so it might be Alt and Bobby Hart. It might be Alt and Pipkins. If it's Alt and Pipkins, it's about as good as it gets for the Chargers right now.
Minnesota, I will point out, is the worst defense in the league against number one wide receivers, and you may be surprised to learn that, according to opponents, the number one wide receiver for the Chargers is Quentin Johnston.
Oh, I thought it had switched to Keenan Allen.
No, teams that have their number one corner follow guys are using that player on Quentin Johnston. But the Vikings aren't really one of those teams. They don't really follow wide receiver one with any particular cornerback.
Gotcha. It's often the vertical guy. It's often the vertical guy that says, yeah, this is how we have to focus on things. If it's a guy who crosses the middle more, it's more like, well, we got linebacker safeties, guys in zones that can impact that. So Johnson, and he's gotten better, obviously, since his rookie year, is the vertical guy.
Well, speaking of crossing the middle, the Vikings are dead last in DVOA on passes in the middle of the field, and they're also 30th on deep passes. Now, Herbert actually has negative value on passes up the middle. It's been a problem this year, mm-hmm, but he's above average on the deep passes.
Just to give an idea of what the impact the tackles have had on the Chargers offense, Herbert has been pressured on 27.7% of his dropbacks this year, according to Sports Info Solutions. Only Justin Fields has experienced more pressure than Justin Herbert. He hasn't had the opportunity to do the things he normally does.
Yeah, it's been a mess. Getting Alt back would be huge if he is ready to play, and he's playing. He probably wouldn't be 100%, but even at 80 or 90% would be a huge return. The Vikings offense, 15th rushing, and the Chargers are 30th in run defense. So maybe a big Jordan Mason game.
He's been playing very, very well. Meanwhile, Carson Wentz remains the quarterback. And
they talked about the fact that they might play this kid Brosmer.
Vikings fans know there's always a third string quarterback. It's Case Kukis, or it's Kyle something. I forget his name a few years ago. But they're talking about Brosmer. They're always really high on the number three quarterback in Minnesota. I don't know why. If that's the case, you really start questioning what's going on with McCarthy.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is there. There's a lot of talk about a soft benching that, but after two games, that seems, unless he just looks like garbage in practice, that just seems really early to be benching a guy.
That's kind of it. It sounds and feels so much like a soft benching. Now, it might be like, well, he's 73% and it's Thursday night. So he may be overreacting to this, but you can feel that vibe coming out of there. And again, it's Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz is turning back into Carson Wentz on a weekly basis. So it's not like, well, you know, it's not even like Mac Jones is out there crushing it for the Niners. It's a very different situation.
Wentz, by the way, is the worst quarterback in the league on passes up the middle this year.
That is unsurprising. His main thing usually is chuck it balls, and obviously getting them to Justin Jefferson, which is a great guy to have for chuck it balls.
The line is Chargers -3.5. And I kind of agree with you. This sets up so strongly to be a Chargers win by exactly 3 points.
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
I'm with you. I would pick Vikings +3.5.
Plus, you know, Vikingsing means winning a game like this, and Chargersing means losing a game like this. So you have that extra insulation if you just say, well, I'm going to take the Vikings on a backdoor cover. If you like the Chargers, tease it a little bit. Get at least a 3 so you get a push.
By the way, we may be having some kind of a technical problem because I don't have any of the comments showing up for me to post.
Oh, no.
So if people are making comments and we're not responding to them, I apologize.
Sorry, folks.
1 p.m. games on Sunday. Let's talk about the 4-2 Bills at the how did we get to this point? 4-3 Panthers. Oh, good. Now the comments are appearing. Okay, I think people were just quiet early on. Okay, Bills make the playoffs still 92% of the time with a win and 80% with a loss, in part because we're still expecting them to be better than they have been.
Yes.
Panthers 25% with a win, 10% with a loss, in part because we're still expecting them to be not as good as they have been. The Bills are 13th now in DVOA. The Panthers are 21st. That is shockingly, those two teams are shockingly close to each other.
It is, and I think that's reflected in a 7-point spread this week.
I think the 7.5-point spread reflects the fact that Vegas, like us, expects that the Bills are better than this. And the
better, but like, yeah, but it's not like in the past you would see this type of game.
You would be 14 or something on this.
Right, right, right. But
the Panthers' defense is 23rd against the pass, but 3rd against the run. But the Bills' offense is 2nd running the ball. So that is a strength against strength with James Cook.
Yes.
Running the ball. I'll also point out that the Panthers, while they're 15th in defense overall, they are 27th on 3rd down.
Interesting. I just get the impression that the Bills can run whenever they feel like running, and they often stop feeling like running at some point in a game, and that hurts them.
I will say this comment sort of ties into this game. Mm-hmm. If I could find the DVOA standings.
Okay.
We have a comment here that the NFC has more winning teams from Red Matt. Red Matt says the NFC has more winning teams. 7 have above a 700 win rate compared to just 3 in the AFC. Mm-hmm. And that ties into this game a little bit. Is that similar in the DVOA standings? Yes. Okay. Right now we have 6 of the top 9 teams.
Okay.
And 8 of the top 12 are NFC teams. And the Panthers are not one of those, 8 of the top 12. But, yeah, 8 of our top 12 right now are NFC teams. So the NFC is definitely the better of the two conferences this year.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is like this sort of round robin of a lot of the weaker teams have been getting the super weak teams. Like everybody's gotten the Saints and the Jets and things like that. And the Panthers have benefited from that to a degree. I wonder how much of that is going on. The Bears have benefited from that to a degree.
One other thing I'll point out, the Panthers are dead last in DVOA against tight ends, and Dalton Kincaid should be back from an oblique injury for this game.
That's a good one to look at in terms of fantasy. Here's some bad news, though. You want the bad news?
Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, Bryce Young for the Panthers did not practice, but he was walking around the field without his little boot. He's pushing and he's trying and he's determined to make himself available for Sunday, Dave Canales said. That sounds like Andy Dalton to
me. It's going to be Andy Dalton. Everyone thinks it's going to be Andy Dalton.
But on the Bills side of things, Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard were limited in practice. Bernard suffered an ankle injury on October 13th, lost to Atlanta, could not finish the game. And despite the extra rest and recovery time, he's not a full go. Milano has played just three games. Two of those, he missed a full half due to a pec injury. Shaq Thompson, familiar to Panthers fans, and Joel Andreessen are the likely backups. And Tyler Rapp was a did not practice. He hasn't been playing well anyway. Jordan Poyer is back. And so a lot of the guys up the middle against a team that runs the ball very well may be limited or unavailable. For
the Bills. The Bills are now dead last in run defense DVOA, and the Panthers' offense is 27th passing but 7th rushing.
Right.
And when you look at adjusted line yards, the Panthers are first left end and second right end.
Okay.
And the Bills happen to be better up the middle than they are around the ends. So there should be some nice outside runs there for Hubbard and Dowdle.
They like pulling guard tactics and pulling tackle and, you know, HT counter and all that stuff where guys are getting out to the edge. They like that. Their offensive linemen are pretty quick-footed. They get out there. And they love the swing pass game as well, which is why some of the what we think of as Dowdle and Hubbard are in the passing category when you look at your statistics.
And Todd Singer says, it feels like the Bills are running last year's Kansas City experiment where they try to see how low talent level they can get away with at wide receiver. I have the 2006 Patriots on the phone.
Rekkie Caldwell?
And it turns out that when you do that, you try to upgrade in the offseason.
The 2002 and 2003 Eagles are also on the phone with
Todd. Oh, Freddie Mitchell, yes, Todd Payton.
Fred X and those guys and Curtis and James Thrash, and they said they will also try to upgrade for better or worse.
That's right. The line, again, is Bills minus 7.5. The system likes the Bills. I kind of like the Panthers just because I feel like the Bills are not running away from people.
The Bills are not a good cover team on big spreads. This is not a very big spread, but they're not a good cover team. At 7.5, you take that, the injury report, the way the Panthers are running the ball, and, of course, the Andy Dalton making his first start, my little personal
system. Right, you do, yeah.
And it all points to the Panthers this week. Don't get too excited, Scott Spratt, but it all points to the Panthers this week.
Another 1 p.m. game that the records don't make it sound like it's a big one, but it is the 4-2 Bears at the 1-5 Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson supposed to be back. And clearly from the line, which is Ravens minus 6.5, we are expecting Lamar Jackson will play in this game. Bears make the playoffs in 48% of our sims with a win and 26% with a loss. And the Ravens, using a rating that incorporates Jackson, 42% with a win, 23% with a loss. I will point out, if you take out the first 2 weeks of the season, the Bears are a top 10 team in DVOA.
Wow.
That's just four games because they had a bye week in there. That's four pretty good games.
Two goofy opponents, and they caught the Cowboys with a lot of injuries. But that it's probably a lot of that is that big win over the Cowboys. It's got to be.
The other thing is that they are very high in turnovers. The Bears' defense by down is 26th, and first. That is not sustainable.
Not sustainable. And that's a lot of Spencer Rattler. That's a lot of the Commanders fumbling to them, although they did have Jaden Daniels in that game. It's a lot of the Raiders offense, folks. Yeah. Be very mindful of that situation.
Bears defense also, by the way, 30th in DVOA against play action passes, even though that includes three interceptions. They're still 30th. So if the Ravens can play action pass, and obviously there's always a fear that they're going to hand off to Henry,
right?
They should have some good success against the Bears defense, even though the Bears defense is healthier now than they were earlier in the season.
Healthier now, but not 100% healthy, as you leave that open for me. Tyreek Stevenson, shoulder, was a do not practice this week. They're pretty thin at the secondary. He's been playing better this year than he has in years past. Also, on the Bears injury report, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, and DeAndre Swift. The Swift injury sounds precautionary. They're resting him during the week. But Kmet and Moore are very big contributors to offense. We're DNPs, and that definitely bears monitoring. I could do the Ravens injury report, but I think people get the general idea. Lamar back, Marlon Humphrey not back, Ronnie Stanley and Roquan Smith back, and Kyle Hamilton, which was a big one, limited in practice.
Yeah, it's interesting. Cole Kmet, the Bears use a lot of 12 personnel, but yes, they're better out of 11 because Kmet and Colston Loveland have been kind of disappointing this year. Loveland, I think, in particular, I know rookie tight ends and all that, but if you look at what Tyler Warren is doing for the Colts, Loveland is kind of a disappointment.
Yeah, Loveland, I watched a lot of Bears this week. I'm doing a Caleb Williams thing. Right. Loveland is mostly go into the flat and catch the little flat pass rollout thing. That's kind of his whole thing. Kmet does most of the other work. Williams is having a hard time connecting with Kmet. A lot of the passes that sail every which way, those are throws towards Kmet. Kmet's getting open, but like those downfield passes are still kind of
Loveland was so much more than that in college.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He should be able to do more than that.
Remember, he's also a tough guy blocking guy thing, and he'll take on some of those roles. So he'll be out there contributing, but you won't get the fantasy points from it.
The line is Ravens minus 6.5, which again, it clearly is. We expect Lamar Jackson is healthy now.
Yeah. Yeah. That scares the daylights out of me, the way that team has played. If you give me 4.5, I might like it better. But I'm probably just steering away from this game. I need to see it.
This is more of a like, I don't want to bet on this game because we don't know exactly what the health situation is with either of these teams.
And there's the Ravens that I remember, and then there's the Ravens I've seen, and I have to like see more balance before I trust them.
Right. The Ravens defense, I went looking for, you know, every time I prepare for the podcast, I go looking for strengths and weaknesses so I can say things like this team is 30th and this other opponent is third. And, you know, the Ravens are like between 21st and 29th in everything.
Yeah.
Like every split of defense, every type of defense, every location on the field, every whatever. Right. Everything you look at, they're basically bad, but in nothing are they like the worst in the league. They're right. Just like between 21 and 29 in every stat.
Right. And in all those stats, you have two games of their Pro Bowler and then one game where the Pro Bowler was injured but playing, and then three games of who's he what's, you know, because you didn't even know who was out there for them.
Right. Red Matt says Warren was always going to be easier to get on the field because he's more of a legit blocking tight end compared to Loveland. Except that's the thing, right? It's the receiving stats.
Yes.
That are disappointing for Loveland. He was supposed to be the better receiver of the two, and he's not running. Right. He's just running flat routes.
Yeah, and they can both block. They're both good blockers. Warren was super Mr. All-Purpose guy too, which helps.
Right. Neither of them's Mike Gesicki.
Kyle Pitts.
Let's talk a little bit about the 2-5 Giants at the 5-2 Eagles. It's another 1 p.m. game. It's interesting simply because of the upset from 2 weeks ago, right? Because the Giants are out of it, really. But the Eagles make the playoffs 79% of sims when they win, 54% when they lost. What do they need to do to avoid a second upset other than not have Jalen Carter and Quinyon Mitchell get injured?
Well, that's about most of it. And a lot of like the conversation in Philly was that Carter was business decisioning a little bit. He was banged up on a Thursday night. They didn't realize he was going to not be available. Let's put it that way. He seems like he's in better shape. That's a big part of it. I was studying the Giants passing game. I think because full disclosure, when we were talking on Monday, I had not seen the first half of that Giants Broncos game. I watched the fourth quarter. And I've seen all of the highlights. And if you saw Dart's highlights from that game, you saw everything Dart did. He was having a really hard time. He was 15 of 33 passing. He was spraying passes into the flats. But then after like, you know, a three and out and all of these other bad plays, they'd make an adjustment at the line of scrimmage, like sort of like a no huddle shift. They'd shift guys around. Bellinger would get open for a 30-yard pass play. And that was what they were sustaining their offense with. Like, there were five of those plays.
I don't know if you want to sustain your offense too much on Daniel Bellinger. Devontae Smith needs to take advantage of the Giants because, like the Eagles, the Giants are poor against number two receivers. Mm-hmm. The Eagles need to be better against quarterback scrambles.
That's a big deal.
They have allowed 9 yards per scramble this year.
Mm-hmm. Even Wentz was moving the ball on them.
And they got to get Saquon going. The Giants' run defense is 31st in DVOA, but what's the best game they've had all year? The Eagles.
Against the Eagles. And both teams do have some issues on the injury report that you just brought up, starting with the Eagles. A.J. Brown popped up on the injury report, but Jimmy Kemsky said he was like walking around talking to Big Dom, et cetera. They think that might be a rest thing. Center Cam Jurgens has a knee injury. He was in and out of the game against the Vikings. If he can't go, it's Brett Toth. That's a problem on the interior offensive line. Meanwhile, Landon Dickerson seems like he's playing at about 60%. Other side of the ball, you talked about the cornerback situation and number two wide receivers against the Giants. Cornerback Paulson Adebo and safety Javon Holland did not practice this week. Both of them were hurt and missing in the fourth quarter against the Broncos. Remember what happened in the fourth quarter against the Broncos?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is part of why I like Eagles -7.5.
Yes. Yes.
I think they get revenge for 2 weeks ago.
This feels like a get-right situation going into the bye. So all my friends were texting me, all the guys in the bar, take a deep breath, simmer down.
I mean, Philadelphia sports radio will be hell if the Eagles lose.
It's hell all the time. It's Sixers season.
Life to the Giants. The same year.
Yes.
The big 4 p.m. game. Let's talk about the big 4 p.m. game. Yes. The 3-3-1 Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Against the 5-2 Denver Broncos. This is the most important game of the week for our playoff odds. Wow. Cowboys. 46% with a win, 21% with a loss. Broncos, 80% with a win, 60% with a loss. Cowboys are now 9th in DVOA, but that is 4th on offense and 30th on defense. And the Broncos are 14th, but that's 19th on offense and 8th on defense. And the Cowboys are really trying my patience on the general precept that offense is more consistent than defense.
Okay.
Because I keep waiting for their defense to not suck this bad because of defense being less consistent. And they're like, now we're going to go out there and suck it.
Right. It's weird because I was looking up some of the stats. And, okay, the Broncos lead the NFL with 34 sacks. Like, obviously, the Broncos get a lot of pressure. That's 8 more than any other team in the NFL. Cowboys don't have a lot of sacks. But if you look at different sources, their pressure rates are pretty high. And I was trying to figure out, one thing is they're using a wave of bodies. They're using like a rotation of 7 or 8 guys, like even more so than other teams do. But I'm trying to get a sense of that. I didn't – watching them, I don't see them like eating up opposing quarterbacks or getting a lot of pressure, but the numbers say otherwise.
They are the worst defense in the league against deep passes.
Yeah, I believe that.
So if they're not bringing pressure, you can launch it deep against them.
Yes.
But Bo Nix last year in the second half of the year, he was bringing the deep pass.
Yeah.
This year, he's not really bringing the deep. Can he get it deep to his guys this game?
He's averaging 4.1 air yards per completion. That's 4th lowest. The only ones lower than that are Rodgers, Dylan Gabriel, and Kyler. And then it's Bo Nix. He has had a hard time getting it deep. Sutton is the only deep threat. You're talking about an older veteran deep threat who has to sort of.
Yeah, Mims should be, but Mims he should be a gadget and go guy, but instead he's just a gadget guy. There's no goes.
Just a gadget guy because it's all gadgets and swing passes and screens and handoffs in the Broncos offense.
Sean Payton, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. I mean, you know, make fun, but obviously the man has had plenty of success in his NFL career, and he's getting, I mean, an average offense out of this team. But
right.
The Denver offense, I will point out, is best running up the middle, but that's where the Cowboys' run defense is strongest. RJ Harvey, I think in both regular terms and fantasy terms, is a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to get on the field. I'm not sure if it was the blocking.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a rookie, you usually think it's the blocking.
Right. And they like Dobbins. And remember, Dobbins can be a really physical runner during the times that he's healthy, and I believe he's healthy right now. So they like thumping the ball with him.
Also, I'll just point out a wacky stat that I found. The Broncos are number one on defense against passes to the left and 30th against passes to the right.
Riley Moss.
Which seems to be completely fluky and not connected to anything.
Right.
Because they move Surtain around.
Right. Okay.
That's so what I was wondering. Riley Moss. It's a combination of safeties and corners and everything, and it doesn't seem to be connected to anything at all.
So 30th on passes to the right?
Yeah.
Is the this
to be a random fluke?
Is it the pass interference in the fourth quarter?
Well, that was one.
That's the one I remember distinctly. Okay.
And someone asked me if it was Alex Singleton, because a lot of passes against the Broncos have been targeting. No, Singleton's on the left and the right. He's everywhere. This just seems to be a random fluke. It's an interesting random fluke that's random.
6 weeks, these things will happen. I'm just trying to look at the opponents they faced. Now, I mean, it's like 1 week it was Chase and Higgins. That doesn't explain anything.
Chase is often on the left.
Right. And they're going to – it's Higgins on the other side, so it's not going to be like, well, okay, yeah.
The line is Broncos -3.5. I like the Cowboys.
I do like the Cowboys. I like the team with the high ceiling of being able to score as opposed to the here's how we're going to manufacture the win every week. So prove me wrong.
The Cowboys are better in DVOA. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the whole offense and defense thing, offense should be more consistent. They're built around offense. Mm-hmm. I feel like the line on this game should be more like Broncos -1, not Broncos -3.5.
And I think that, like, the Cowboys have solutions to the Broncos defense, which is kind of blitz and pass rush heavy. They have a diverse running game. They have a lot of weapons on offense. It's not like they have to target CD over and over again, et cetera. So I think that they have solutions there.
We'll finish up with the 8 o'clock game, the 4-1-1 Packers against the 4-2 Steelers. Packers make the playoffs 88% of the time with a win, 69% with a loss. Mm-hmm. Steelers are at 75% with a win, 54% with a loss. Packers are sixth in DVOA. Steelers are surprisingly 10th in DVOA. And even more surprising is the split, because it's ninth on offense and 20th on defense, but the offense is mostly running.
Yes.
The passing game is average, which I think is still better than we expected.
Yes.
But their running game has been very good this year.
And that's surprising. And their passing game often just looks like a running game. Every Rodgers statistic in terms of time to throw and air yards and everything is near the bottom of the league, yet they're getting success with that. Defense, last time we saw the defense, they were flummoxed by the idea that Joe Flacco was just going to keep throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase over and over again.
Yeah, I would.
I would.
That's what I would do.
That's what I would do.
You want to run at the Steelers in the middle of the field. Steelers are top at adjusted line yards on the ends, fifth and second, but they are 28th on runs up the middle. So bam it right up the middle on those kids. And the Steelers are also – this is interesting. The Steelers are the number one defense in man coverage, but 28th in zone coverage.
They were zone team for like 30 years.
But Love is much better against man than against zone. So the strengths and weaknesses match. Mm-hmm. So I don't know then what the strategy becomes.
Right. When you've got like eight different guys to throw the ball to, a lot of times with man, we're going to create a mismatch somewhere along the way.
And Christian Watson is supposed to be back, by the way. Watson
is supposed to be back this week. Dontavian Wicks is possibly out. That is an upgrade, ladies and gentlemen. On the defensive side of the ball, Devontae Wyatt may also return. Packers have been very thin at defensive tackle. It's contributed to their difficulty running the ball. So Wyatt, if he comes back, is helpful. Also on the kicker front, got a lot of fantasy watchers, viewers, listeners. Brandon McManus may be back. I think they're deciding today if he's ready to come back, if he's kicking in practice. And I forgot to mention, if your fantasy kicker situation, Graham Gano may be back for the Giants. Remember the kid from Rutgers missed the PAT.
Last week. And they cut him.
Oh, they cut him. I missed that.
Matty, so I'm assuming Gano will be back. I don't remember what it's called now. The Pittsburgh Stadium. I also don't know if it's still the hardest stadium statistically to kick at in the league. For a while, right? Like teams made fewer 50-yard field goals in Pittsburgh than anywhere else, and I don't know if that's still true or that was just a random thing early in the.
I'm calling it Heinz Field forever and ever. I don't care.
Yeah, that was a good name.
Yes, sponsors pay me, and I'll call it by its real name until then.
A very Pittsburgh sponsor. It's like Gillette Stadium. Like the sponsorship at least makes logical sense.
Right. You can actually feel them together. Of course, Aaron Rodgers is complaining, rightfully so, about the condition of the field because they've been sharing it with Pitt. It gets very messy. I don't know what that might – if there's that favors anybody. It might favor the under, though.
The line is Packers -3, and my system officially has no pick. The projected line is Packers -3.
I'd go with the Packers. I think they're a better team.
They are a better team, yes. I think although, but it's in Pittsburgh.
Right.
But you think the Packers are good enough better? They're 4.5 points better, so that they, even in Pittsburgh, you would take Packers.
Even in Pittsburgh, I would take that. On a mucky field, the Packers are a mucky field team. If the weather gets a little cold, I don't think there's any precipitation in the forecast. Packers can handle that. It's not like we're talking about the Dolphins or something here.
Michael Allen Brewer says, I am curious to see how the sadness will go between Atlanta and Miami.
More lefties.
Point out, I did this podcast proud. I did Gil Alexander's Megapod yesterday, betting the book from VSiN Megapod.
Okay.
And at the end of the show, they asked, what is one game you don't want to touch? And I said, in proper Shots at Tenier fashion, the answer is never bet on Falcons games either way. Never.
The meme is spreading. And if Sunday night did not convince you, then I don't know what will. Another battle of lefties. How often do we see this many battles of lefties? We have Penix versus Tua. I think Tua is still starting, right?
Boomer Esiason versus Steve Young battles, I guess.
Yes, except not. Except not in any way like that at all.
Yeah, not, yeah. Only in that way, in that they are both lefties.
In both lefties, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
All right, that does it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for commenting. Once we got the comments going and asking questions, and we're here at 11 a.m. Eastern on Mondays and Thursdays. Don't forget to use Underdog with code FTN. Don't forget to use the Mike Tenier Substack, miketenier.substack.com. We will be back on Monday to review Week 8 and preview the Chiefs and the Commanders, which is Monday Night Football this week. Until then, enjoy your weekend of football, and we'll talk to you all on Monday. So long.